Blog Talk Radio.
I want to know, are you ready? America. Thanks for joining us. I want to know, are you ready to take back our country? As the name of this song states, are you ready to join together on common ground? By that I mean God, family, country, constitution. If so, you've tuned into the right place. If not, hang out with us. You may find there's more right in you than you know. I'm Gary Benford, host of United Patriots Uprising, coming to you every other Monday night for 2 hours of guest-driven, conservative-based political talk. It's all about the message, friends, looking to enlighten, edify, and equip, so each and every one of us will be able to engage, expose, and defeat the radical left's Marxist agenda in the arena of ideas, leading to a red tsunami at the polling places. So are you with me, America? If so, strap on your helmet and take up your shield, because we're in a war for the soul of our nation, and we're not about to lose. Socialism, not in our America, not on our watch. No way, no shape, no how.
Hello, America. Hello, America. Glad to be back at you with the next episode of United Patriots Uprising. We do this on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. If you want to call in and talk to me or some of our outstanding guests, the phone number is 347-637-3942. That's 347-637-3942. At 6:30 this morning, I was in another state. I was nowhere near my hidden bunker in Long Island, New York, where I do this show. I was still down in Greensville, South Carolina, where I had just taken in 3 or 4 days, depending on how you want to count it, of the Rock the Red convention that's... And we were on fire. Now... It was just an amazing thing how that convention worked. And it was so outstanding, I didn't need a plane to fly back to New York, but I had one. And now I'm back, and you're supposed to be tired, but boy, I am so stoked and so fired up, you know, to do this. And I'm going to do one thing again because I heard something a little bit weird in my headphones. So I'm going to say one more time, this is United Patriots Uprising. I'm Gary Benford, your host. We do this on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. The number is 347-637-3942 if you want to dial us up. Okay, now, at this convention, you had General Michael Flynn as a keynote speaker. You had Lynn Wood as a keynote speaker. You had K. Carl Smith and Claire Lopez, who were on my previous broadcast. You had Eric Benjamin, the Irish immigrant. You had Eliana Brooks, who was sold into sex trafficking at the age of 7. Both of them will be on the next broadcast, which will be June 21st. You had Tom Holman, you know, the former head of ICE, who said he's going to be coming on the show soon. Alfie Oaks, it just kept going on and on. Barbara, Arthur, the names just rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled. And what the prevalent theme of all the speakers of this outstanding conservative convention talked about was, we have to get involved, people. Donald Trump is not in the White House. We have to understand it. You know, know, lying, hiding Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are still there. We have to understand this, and to get them out, we're going to have to do exactly what Donald Trump did. He held rallies. He energized. He energized the base. He got people involved. He got blacks and Hispanics. He got people that were rich. He got people that were poor. He got people that were black, people that were white. He got people that were male, people that were female, to all come together on the common bond of let's make America great again. Okay? We have to do this. We have to start from the ground up. And I've always talked about my motto, and I wore my hat down in Greenville, just get one, flip blue to red. Just get one, flip blue to red. You don't have to get an army. You don't have to get a tsunami of people. Just get one. If there's 63 million of us, and we each just got one, if only half of us got one, the House is ours, the Senate is ours, the presidency is ours, people are going to go to jail for treason. Everything that's supposed to happen will happen. Okay? But, and that was the focus of that rally, to energize the base and get people fired up to understand, you know, we've got to get involved. And from the ground up, you've got to do your school boards. You've got to do your PTA associations. You've got to understand what is going on your local community and start changing things around. We've got to get this Marxist indoctrination that has infested and infected us the heck out of here. And we've got to do it. We can't wait for President Trump, okay? What we need to do is take the bull by the horn and start getting the job done ourselves, okay? And when he comes back in, or if it's somebody else, like Ron DeSantis, whoever it is, when he comes back in, we will have laid the groundwork. This is what the Democrats did. Barack Obama, using the Saul Alinsky tactic, rules for radical. They went out and they went into the streets. They took it to the streets and they got people. They signed people up to vote. They're in front of liquor stores. They're in front of the churches. They're in front of ShopRite. They went where the masses of the people were. They found people who had never voted before and locked them up and locked them in for 8 years. This is what we have to do. Why? Because look at where we are. What the heck has happened to our country? Where are we? Well, we're in the midst of an attempted communist takeover. Okay? And you know, I've been beating this drum for a year. And I've been bringing on name guests, trying to find the biggest names and the brightest individuals that you would know to beat this drum, because they have credibility. And speaking of credibility, Mr. David Horowitz has so many books published and so many works that when I was scrolling through my computer to see everything he's written, my battery died before I even scrolled to the bottom of them. That's how much David Horowitz has. This is a conservative stalwart who is the son of Jewish parents whose family immigrated from Russia. David is the founder of the David Horowitz Freedom Center, which is formerly known as the Center for the Study of Popular Culture. Within that framework, he's the editor of the Center's Front Page magazine. Among his riveting books, Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America, and also he had the New York Times bestseller, Big Agenda, President Trump's Plan to Save America. Are you impressed? You should be. But this only tells half of the David Horowitz story, albeit the good half. What I intentionally omitted is that David's parents were high school teachers right down the road from me in Queens, New York, who were members of the American Communist Party and staunch supporters of Joseph Stalin. I got to hear from David. When David comes in, he's got to tell me about this. These are parents who brought him up under communist propaganda. Okay? So here to explain his journey from outspoken Marxists to conservatives, as well as breaking down and unpacking what the heck is going on in our country, the author of his latest best-selling book, The Enemy Within, How a Totalitarian Movement is Destroying America, I welcome to the broadcast Mr. David Horowitz.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on. Yeah. I really appreciate it. David, I must start here. I've never been able to wrap my brain around a concept, no matter how many times I've tried, and I've heard this many times, the same story. how people who are Jewish immigrate from countries that were communist and still join the Democrat Party and become part of the communist movement, whether they know it or not. No disrespect, but I still just don't
know. Well, you might ask, how do black Americans who are oppressed by the Democrat Party, which is the party of slavery, segregation, and which controls every inner city in America and is 100% responsible for every injustice, real or imagined, in the inner cities. How do black people vote for the Democrats?
I can tell you leftists
why. They're very seductive. They're very good at political warfare. And conservatives aren't. They're lame, which is why we're in such trouble.
I understand. You know, but see, I'm black, so I get that.
The election was stolen with the cooperation of Republican legislatures that refused to do the audits and look into this, the irregularities. It's Republican-controlled legislatures. If they had just done, just look at Georgia, for crying out to you, that two incumbents, we would control the Senate if they, you know, had fought the war instead of being divided among themselves and not paying attention to the fact that the Democrat Party is a communist party and it has treason in its heart. It's a treason party. I grew up in this left, and it was always an anti-American left. It's never been about peace or justice or anything like that. It's always been a hate America left. And it's taking control. With the election of Obama, it took control of the Democrat Party. We just had this heroic space commander. He's in the Space Force. Was a commander of a unit, Matthew Lohmeyer. Commander of a unit whose task was to, identify every time a ballistic missile was launched, his unit would identify it and where it is and so forth. And he was fired because he wrote a book that he self-published objecting to the fact that the military is now training the troops in hating America. The 1619 Project, which is a New York Times project, which is treason, teaches instead of 1776 and, you know, the battle cry of freedom, all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with an inalienable right to liberty, which is why the slaves were freed. It's black Africans who enslaved every slave who was shipped to this country, and it was white Christians mainly who freed them at the cost of 350,000 lives.
Amen.
And we have these perverse communist narratives now. They're worthy of our worst enemies, the Chinese communists, the Iranian mullahs, and Putin himself. They couldn't make up a better attack on America, could they?
And no, they couldn't. Now, David,
paint America as a racist nightmare. How are these young people going to risk their lives? Why would they risk their lives to defend a country that's as evil as Joe Biden, may he be damned forever, is constantly telling us, systemic racism everywhere and so forth? My book, The Enemy Within, describes what's happened and why. And also how to fight it.
Here's
how lame conservatives are and Republicans. Nancy Pelosi has said all that Republicans are enemies of the state. 61% of Democrats think that all Republicans are racist. They call us racist, white supremacists, insurrectionists, traitors. And what do conservatives call them? Liberals. What the heck are they liberal about except hard drugs and sex and spending other people's money and lining up with criminals? The Democrat Party is a criminal party. It's empowered these Mexican drug cartels. It's let out hundreds of thousands of convicted violent criminals back into our streets. It's ended bail, so you know you destroy a city or you steal, hijack a car, and you don't even spend any time in jail. They just let you go.
This is absolutely incredible.
Why
David.
Aren't Republicans screaming this from the rooftops?
David, you're absolutely right here, and you have laid out in 5 or 6 minutes a lot of what we wanted to talk about. You've talked about what a lot of the problems is. As somebody who was born black, and I can tell you the problem for the American black person was they were born here and have been raised in freedom. We're losing it now, but we've been, like you have been pounding this, I've been pounding this for years about their
America market. America is a great gift to black people. Black people were enslaved by other blacks. Slavery existed in Africa for 1,000 years before a white person ever set foot there. That doesn't make slavery in America okay, but Americans began abolishing slavery starting in 1776. The northern states were free by 1807. You know, you can't change institutions overnight. It's just very difficult to change anything. And if they had declared war on the South, they would have lost the war because the South would have aligned with the British, the most powerful empire in the world. They burned the White House in 1812.
Black people in
America are the most privileged black people on God's green earth.
They have
the most freedom, the most opportunities. They're the richest black population anywhere in the world, including all of black Africa and the black West Indies. And they are here from the beginning. But I mean, black people, you know, it's not like they're interlopers.
Hey, David, I'm going to tell you. Hold on, David. Let me tell you, because I'm in the process of telling you. The problem is exactly what you said. Black people, we've been telling them what was coming down the pike. Now they're going to about find out. They're about to find out what socialism looks like, smells like, and the stench of it. See, because they never believed this would happen. But see, coming from Russia, right, and coming from other countries, people already know. If people have left the communist country, why would they want to come here and join with the communists?
Well, because it's very seductive.
Please tell me how.
You know. Oh, everybody's gonna. You know, we're gonna take care of you. People are basically, they're lazy. They want security. Freedom is terrifying to most people. Freedom is a terrifying state. You know, you're on your own.
I hear it. Now, you got into that. Now, in 1960, you did the college thing, the BA in English from Columbia, Master's in English Lit from Cal Berkeley, so, you know, you were really into this thing. You lived in London, identified as a Marxist. Back in that time, that's when we were heating up here with all the radical left came out. You went to London, but you came back home, and you came back home. You had a little bit of association, I guess. Became friends with Huey Newton and the Black Panthers, then something happened. What happened to change you around?
Well, I raised a lot of money for the Black Panther Party and bought a Baptist church, white Baptist church, in Oakland's inner city. It's been sort of taken over by the inner city, and they wanted to get out. So I bought the church at that 35 classrooms. And it became the base of the Panthers' operation. And I stupidly believed our propaganda. So I said, you know, the government is racist. and I created a tax-exempt foundation to finance this center. It was a school. And I thought, if we don't have somebody to keep the books of the school properly, the government will shut it down. When the opposite is true, if you're a leftist and you're a crook like Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson,
yep. I'll keep you open.
You can get away with murder, and actually that's what they did. They murdered this woman that I recruited to do the bookkeeping for the school. And that all my stupid leftist friends said, you know, the ones I trusted, I would say, you know, I think the Panthers killed Betty. She was 42 years old, a mother of three children, and they said to me, the white power structure killed her. The white power structure. It's, you know, leftism is a perfect, it glues up the brain. You can't think straight. You take responsibility away from individuals and you attribute them to skin color. It's really, and of course the Panthers, the people they mainly killed were black. I mean, I can identify 12 people that I knew that they murdered. They murdered the head of the Black Student Union at Laney College because he looked at them crosswise. They were gangsters.
Wow. David, I feel you. I really feel your pain. So let me help you out here. Let me get you out of your pain. And you wrote in the Village Voice in 1986 an article entitled "Why I'm No Longer a Leftist." What happened? That was part of your coming out party. What changed you? As you know, the Blexit movement, Candace Owens,
they
talk about red pill. What changed you?
This happened about the same time that the left got its biggest victory. It drove America out of Vietnam. The left had claimed to be an anti-war movement, claimed to be concerned about the Vietnamese, just the way they claimed to be concerned about black people and their oppression. The minute America left, the communists marched in and won, and they proceeded to kill 2.5 million Indochinese peasants. 2.5 million. There wasn't one demonstration against those killings, not one. And I saw that. I was involved with an evil movement. It put on this seductive face, you know, we care about you, we're about justice. They didn't give a damn about the Vietnamese. They only cared about destroying America, taking power here. And man, got a single idea of actually what to do with America. You know, it's like AOC and these other traitors in the Democrat Party. What the hell are they? All they know is to take money from people who've earned it and give it to their friends. That's the game plan.
That's the game plan. The elites and everybody else are going to be those useful idiots.
They're vicious, vicious, evil people. So especially if you're black and you see that it's a scam that's run on the black community, the Democrat Party and all its, you know, plans. If you see that, they call you all kinds of names, race traitor, they isolate you, you lose all your friends. I love when the left says they speak truth to power. They are the power. There's no risk in being a leftist. Look at them. They burn cities, and Kamala Harris bails them out of jail. It's tough to be a conservative. It's tough to be a patriot.
And what was that like for you? What was the pushback that you got when you switched sides?
I lost every friend. I was 35 years old, and I lost every friend that I had in life until that point. Every last one. Because they don't have real human relationships. They have political relationships. That's what this cancel culture is about. It's how they keep everybody in line. Because who wants to lose all their friends in midlife?
I hear you.
They weren't really your friends when that happened.
Yeah. David, you say in your book, the new book, which I would tell everybody, please get The Enemies Within, You say every Democrat, all the Democrats and their allies, what they did with the power they had, one, showed that the ultimate goal was not to replace or destroy one man in office, meaning Donald Trump, or to win one election, but to establish a one-party state. Will you please unpack that and tell people what you mean?
Well, let's do it with the voter ID. You can't, if you don't have a photo ID, something that identifies that you are actually a citizen, you're alive, you're not an illegal alien, you're not just the name of somebody who died, you live in the state, you're a citizen. If you don't have proof of that, then elections are just up for the thieves. The Democrats, I mean, it's so disgusting. They call that voter suppression to get a photo ID. First of all, it shows what racist they are. Poor black people are too stupid to get a photo ID. Well, you know, you can't get food stamps without a photo ID. You can't get welfare. You can't get prescription drugs. You can't get into the Democrat Party convention without a photo ID.
You can't get into the liquor store either.
If this were the problem, which it is not, if it were the problem, what's the solution? It's easy. You set up a government program to supply every single person who doesn't have a photo ID with one for free. How difficult is that? They never proposed that because the Democrats are thieves. They stole this election, and they made a way of life in stealing elections.
What's the premise of the book?
What's
the premise of the book? The premise of the book about the one-party state, the enemy within.
Well,
what do you want
all,
us to know?
Yeah, you know, they oppose free speech. They want to criminalize free speech. If you question an election result, question it, then you're an armed insurrectionist and a threat. I lost a friend of 70 years over this because I questioned the election. I mean, just think about that. What do the Democrats do? They have questioned every election that a Republican has won the presidency in since 1980. The leader of the attempt to impeach Trump the third time because he questioned the election, they call it the big lie, meaning that it's Hitler. To tar and feather every Republican who does it, the idea is to intimidate you if you question the election result. Jamie Raskin, who was the head of the impeachment managers, he was the congressman who led the charge against Trump for this sin. In 2016, he went into the well of the House with Sheila Jackson Lee and a number of other Democrats to question the election result. It's American to question everything, for crying out to you. Anyway.
I hear you. Now, we know what's happened. You just told us what's happened. How do we get America back? How do we get it back? What do we do?
Well, Trump has given us a great gift, which is the mass movement. For the first time in my lifetime, there's a conservative mass movement. When I came over to the right 40 years ago, I look around, and the first thing I said was, where's the ground army? There are all these leftist organizations attacking politicians, attacking corporate CEOs until they, you know, calling them names, harassing them until they fold, and to get the left off their backs, they adopt these terrible policies. On the right, there's nothing. Why isn't there a sit-in at the Twitter headquarters or at Zuckerberg's head, you know, Facebook's head, harassing them until they, you know, behave and don't censor conservatives? Where are the right wing, where aren't conservative, even conservative, why aren't parents who don't want their kids, their kindergartners taught that they can change their sex, who don't even want their kindergartners being talked to about sex? They robbed innocence. It's child abuse. But why aren't their parents up in their faces? They should get in the face of these teachers. You know, don't become barbarians like the leftists, but you can harass people. Just get in your faces and why are you teaching my kids this nonsense that you can choose what gender you are? I mean, come on.
I hear what
just
you're
saying.
Just
make their
yeah.
lives a little bit more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it is, people. You got to get out there and you got to fight at every level. The Democrats, they fight at local levels. They want the school board seats. They want the this, the that. Republicans, you know, it's they don't do it unless they, you know, it's a state legislature or something like that. It's hard for me to blame people for not engaging. It's unpleasant political warfare, but we're losing our country. It's going to be gone.
David, can secular Jews be saved? Can secular Jews? You know, we got a problem with blacks, but can secular Jews be? Or are they gone?
No. There's a secular Judaism is like it's called Reform Judaism, and there's a joke about it. Among Jews, and that is that Reform Judaism is the Democrat Party with holidays.
Oh boy, we shouldn't be laughing. We got to get these people on board.
Seductive. I keep saying this. The Marxists have, you know, they've lifted the Christian narrative. Really, the world is a fallen place because all of those bad things like patriarchies and corporations and so forth, but it can be redeemed. And the difference between Christianity and leftism is that the leftists think that they're the redeemers. So they want the power of God. They want to be able to behave like God and redeem the world. But you can't do it with human beings because human beings are the problem. I mean, Genesis is so brilliant about, you know, I'm an agnostic Jew. I'm not observant. And I'm an agnostic, which just means I don't know. It's all a mystery to me. But I can see that the book of Genesis is the wisest 18 chapters or whatever it is ever written. Because Adam and Eve were given paradise. It was better than the Green New Deal. You didn't die. You didn't have pain in childbirth. You didn't have to work because the fruit fell from the trees. But there was one condition of staying in paradise, and that is you could not want to do evil. You could not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's the one thing that they did, they wanted to do. And that's why we've been expelled from power. And that's why you can't get back. Because the people that you're going to empower, the revolutionaries, are the same people who screwed the world up. It is so – I mean, the one thing that Trump showed us, I'm almost sorry he did. I would have probably been happier dying before I learned this, was how corrupt everything is. These people are so corrupt. You know, Fauci investing in the virus, which was, I actually said the first time I became aware of where I came from, I said, it's a biological weapon that the Chinese military is developing, all supported by Fauci and, God, it's terrible.
David,
it's a wonder we've survived this long.
David, and we will. We got to keep going. Thank you for your words of wisdom. You know, I feel kind of bad here because it feels like I tortured you. And you just seem so
no,
– I can feel your pain. I can feel your pain in this.
The
country you love, what has happened to it.
No,
please tell
I'm
people how they can reach you.
As Californians say, I'm working out my karma. I'm paying. This is my atonement for having been a leftist.
Please tell people how they can reach you and how they can get your book.
My stuff is at frontpagemag.com, as in frontpagemagazine.com. I have a website that's an encyclopedia of the left called discoverthenetworks.org. You can find my books at Horowitz Books. So they're in Amazon. They should be in Target, Walmart. They're all over the place. I can't get the I appreciate you having me on, because it's hard for me to get media, because the left controls the media and they sort of hate me, as you might imagine.
Well, I don't hate you, and you're the type of voice we want to hear, because you came from the other side. Your parents are communists. You found your
That's
way out.
If you can find your way out, so can others.
Right.
These people are evil, and they will kill you. Look,
tell them.
If they're not stopped in 2022, they're going to form re-education camps. They're going to make camps and put all these Yahoo Republicans in the camps and re-educate them so that they, follow the gospel of Kamala Harris and AOC.
I'm not going to let it happen,
David. Disgrace the Democrat Party. These people are so stupid. They're just stupid people. Tell me one idea that AOC has had that's not just about taking money away from people who've earned it and giving it to their friends. There is none.
I just hope, David, that people see what has happened, starting to smell the stench of the socialism, and that we're going to get our country back, and that some of these people on the left are going to turn and say enough. I really thank you for coming on the show. You're always welcome to come back.
Great. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Mr. David Horowitz, people, I hope you feel his pain. You got to understand, this man's parents, like they supported Joseph Stalin when they got to the United States. They taught him communism. This is when he was raised in Queens, New York, under communism. They wouldn't let him watch a movie that had Rock Hudson and Doris Day in it. He was watching communist propaganda. No wonder he grew up a Marxist. Okay? But look at what happened. He found his way out. He found the truth. If he can find the truth, everybody else can. This man is an inspiration and understands what's going on, and he knows where a lot of the bodies are buried, and he knows exactly what that party's about. So I hope you listen to him and tell your friends to support David Horowitz and get his stuff. Now, speaking of inspirations, when I heard Sean Farish speak on a video Zoom conference with one of my buddies, he inspired me. And the reason he inspired me is that his testimony and what he was talking about reminded me of what happened to me. Because I had no political aspirations. I wasn't involved in anything. In fact, as most people that hear this show know, a year ago, my producer, the big boss man, James Bostic, told me I should have my own radio show. I basically laughed in his face. I said I didn't want my own radio show. And look, a year later, what's happened. Sean Farish got involved. He took the first step. And taking the first step, he's going to tell you what it's led to. He is the founder of the Long Island, right here where I live, the Long Island Loud Majority. Not minority, but a loud majority. And he's looking to take people places. I welcome to the show, Sean Farish. How you doing, Sean?
Hi, Gary. Thank you. Doing well. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate coming on.
Oh, thank you for coming on. And when I first heard you speak, I was so taken back, because I said, this is the American story. Because a lot of people, wherever I go, they say, okay, you have a radio show, you can get people on, but I don't have a pen, I don't write, I don't speak, I don't have a TV show, I don't have a radio show. What can I do? Well, tell them what you did.
Well, basically what happened, I went down to a boat parade one day down here in Long Island out at Shinnecock Inlet. It was one of those Trump boat rallies, because that was some of the only things that people could do back over the summer of 2020 because of the COVID restrictions, because we live in a communist state of New York with a communist governor, Andrew Cuomo, and a communist mayor in New York City, Bill de Blasio, and calling them communists might be kind. They might actually be worse than that. But we were down at Shinnecock Inlet, and I'm watching the boats. And, I drove down to this one little spot, and there was all these people parked there. I had no idea why they were there. I didn't care really why they were there. I knew I was there to watch the boats. But, I'm thinking maybe these people are here to watch the Trump stuff. I don't know. I'm not going to go up there and ask them, because you never know who you ask, what the reaction might be. But I watched a couple get out of a car with two Trump flags, and they went up to the top of the bridge. And I'm like, all right, so there's some people like me out here. Not too bad. So then I decided at that point, screw it. I took my flags out. I started flying them off my truck. I got a Betsy Ross flag. I got a Trump 2020 flag. I took out my Bluetooth speaker. I took out my folding chair and the bed of my truck. I got my drone ready to go watch the boats. And once my flags went up, all of a sudden people started coming out of their cars. Oh, hey, you're here to watch Trump votes too? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I started to realize, like, the idea of the silent majority was a real thing. It wasn't just, you know, political buzzwords or talking points about, you know, when do conservatives come out and vote? They're the silent majority. Oh, they're quiet until they vote. You know, you hear that, but you're like, is it real? Where are these people? They should be making noise every now and then, yada, yada. And, you know, basically, I fly my drone, we're sharing, we're talking, and 15 to 20 strangers we've never met before. And, you know, my flags went up, and we started talking. So I'm driving home from Shinnecock Inlet to West Babylon, and, you know, I'm thinking, I'm like, you know, it's pretty cool, right? The common denominator was a Trump flag. So, you know, not everyone has a boat. We do live on an island, but not everyone has a boat, you know, out here. And, you know, most people have cars, right? So I figured, why don't we just flag up the cars like everybody was flagging up their boats and do car parades? So I posted on Facebook the next day. Within a couple of days, the post went viral. We had our first rally planned for COPEG in Long Island. I expected about 50 cars to come by. We wound up getting around 300. The next question for everybody was, when's the next one? I said, 2 weeks. I had no idea it was going to go on. But after the first rally at the first ending point, I met the two others that I founded the Loud Majority with, Heather Liebman and Kevin Smith. And, you know, we started talking every day since that day, September 6, 2020. We always joke. We say the last time we got sleep was September 5th, 2020. I said, yeah, because, you know, now we're up. We're getting involved in the schools. I'm heading over to a school board meeting right now to support a group for Unmask the Kids, you know, and ever since then we go. Greenport was September 20th. We moved Greenport to Greenport. And we had, you know, we had about, I don't know, 3,500, maybe 4,000 cars.
Wow.
Show up to that rally.
From 300
so
the first time.
Yep, from 300 the first time.
And then what happened next?
So 3,500 cars at Greenport. Everyone wanted to know again after Greenport, you know, what's they wanted to know what's the next move. So we said, New York City. So we went and advertised. This is a good plan that we did here. This is a fun one. It was October 4th, again, 2 weeks. And from the previous day, and we called it Operation 10-4 because it was October 4th, 10-4. Trump had gotten COVID a couple of days before our rally was supposed to go off. That wasn't obviously planned, but, you know, it had happened. So leading up to that, we had a fake route posted all over the Internet that we were going to go to Gracie Mansion in Times Square. That was to throw off Antifa and BLM because what better way to fool a dummy than with a dummy route, right?
There you
so,
go.
We put it out. NYPD Intel is calling me. They're like, hey, what's up with your rally? Times Square, Gracie Mansion. I'm like, ha, I even got you guys fooled. That's pretty cool, right? So he said, what do you mean? You know, I said, listen, when I tell you this, you're going to be the seventh person on the planet who knows our route. You know, we kept it airtight for everyone's safety. But long story short, we went into New York City. We went down Fifth Avenue, stopped everybody in front of Trump Tower. For about an hour, we were dancing on the streets, you know, on Fifth Avenue in New York City on a Sunday morning. But we also, something that was lost in that caravan, we also took about 11 truck beds full of food, you know, and we donated it to a local food pantry right in the heart of AOC's district. And on that one day alone, we did more for her district than she's done her entire, you know, political career. And it's pretty sad on her part, but we were happy to get back to that community. After October 4th came October 18th. That was when we ran from Seaford train station to Montauk Point all the way to the end of Long Island.
I remember.
And that one had 10,000 cars in that one. That was 10,461. We got that count from a police drone out in Southampton. So it was just crazy. I mean, we were taking over. It was just so much energy, and the rallies continued. Fox and Friends came the week after. We went to, you know, West Babylon on Halloween, another 8,000 cars the week after that. We rallied after the election. We rallied all the way to Washington, D.C., and now here we are on the opposite side of things. It's spring heading to summer. We just got through Memorial Day, you know, and we're getting involved in the schools now because what's happening to the kids, whether it's masking or it's critical race theory, you know, it's disgusting. You know, what's happening in these schools, these administrators, these teachers, I call them predators because that's what they are. You know, you're in a position of authority, but you're leveraging kids into submission to your agenda. You're leveraging kids into submission just because of your authority, because you can. And that's what a predator does. They prey on the weak and the powerless. And look, I'm not calling them child predators. That has a completely different meaning. But they are predators. They are acting in a predatory way. They are strong-arming children into regurgitating this fake 1619 critical race theory, divisive, hateful, toxic narrative in order to produce little socialists to come out of these schools. They're leveraging kids into submission in these government schools. They call them public schools. They're actually government schools because the government controls these schools. Andrew Cuomo threatened a handful of the superintendents on Long Island today about masking. If that doesn't say these schools report to the government, therefore they're government schools, I don't know what else says that. But this guy, this governor, he's a tyrant. He's out there abusing these kids. There are kids passing out throughout the state because it's too damn hot in these classrooms, and they got face diapers strapped across their face. They're being taught a fake history of the United States. They're being taught to hate where they came from, whether they're white or black. If you're black, you're taught that you're oppressed. If you're white, you're taught that you're racist. They're being taught that nothing is okay, that nobody is your friend, that you have to be placed into different boxes by the color of your skin or by, you know, how your last name ends or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's disgusting what's happening in this state, and we're taking a stand against it.
Sean, it's so wonderful, and I want you to please address the people, because there's a lot of people that they look and see, it's hard to understand, and I've had this conversation with a lot of people. The Democrats have been activists. They've been working this for 100 years. So they've been moving that ball football a yard a year, or however you want to look at it. This is new to us. And ground roots or ground game, just like David Horowitz said, Republicans aren't used to doing ground game. Can you address why and tell people why it's so important for them to get involved and give them some ideas, like maybe they can't start a rally, but you have talked about controlling school boards, getting on school boards, getting yourself into the system. Please address how people can get involved on the local level that don't have the ability to do what you did, which was a wonderful thing that you did.
All right, thank you, man. And yeah, it's true. You know, it's funny. It's very new for conservatives. You know, when we first got started, it was like, wow, you know, look, people are actually up and taking action. You know, there's a reason why we were dubbed the silent majority, because we were largely silent about these things up until, you know, the last couple of months. But, you know, it is new to us, and there is a learning curve here. You know, a lot of us have jobs, day jobs, right? And we're not paid to be activists like the left, right? You know, so
right.
So it's really difficult for a lot of people to do a lot of things all of the time. But if some of us do some things sometime, eventually, and we keep building off of that and tailoring it to our schedules and whatnot, we will be able to collectively take action. I mean, just today, what we did today, yesterday we came up with this idea. We said, let's go in front of the News 12 building out in Woodbury and do an unmasked kids protest and bring all the children and the parents out there. And we had an amazing turnout today, and we put that together in under 24 hours. You know, it is new to us, but when we continue, so I think one of the problems and one of the issues why this is a new thing to us is because we were never hearing about what was going on, right? It was being hidden. It was being concealed from us. The media certainly wasn't telling us the entire story, right? Your Democrat friends and your politicians never will tell you, you know, the entire story. So we had nothing to get mad about. We had nothing to get angry about. We thought everything was all right. It just was a little, you know, oh, okay, wow, that's just a little off. But when you realize, when you go several layers deep and you start to realize how bad it really is, and you start to get upset, you start to get mad. I start to think about, you know, how conservatives reacted after Brett Kavanaugh when they dragged that guy through hell and back over fake accusations, right? But it got conservatives mad, and that's why Trump's losses in those midterm elections in 2018 weren't as bad as some of his predecessors. And that's why we were able to build our majority in the Senate, because conservatives got mad, and when they get mad, they take action. And there is a hell of a lot to be mad about. So if you're not one of these people who wants to get on the street, or you don't want to, you know, take action on, you know, on, you know, go out and rally, or it's not your thing, or you don't have the time for it. There are other ways to get involved. That's right. You can share content. You can post content. You can organically, word of mouth, my new favorite thing to tell people, especially conservatives in the age of shadow banning and big tech censorship, is that word of mouth is the new cash. They can't track. They can't track that. Twitter can't ban you from physically telling somebody something through a text message, through a phone call, through a face-to-face conversation at your local Republican club, at your board of ed. Twitter can't stop you. Facebook can't stop you. You're going to go to that board of ed. You're going to go voice your opinion. You're going to go be heard. And if you're not heard the first time, guess what? Twitter can't ban you. You're not going to get deactivated. So go be heard a second time. Go be heard a third time. Go be heard until they're sick of hearing you and they do something about it, right? That's how you've got to do it. You've got to be persistent. That's what the left has done for years. And that's what I've always been a stubborn, you know what, right? No matter what, mm-hmm. no matter what it's been about. I've always been stubborn. I've been persistent. I want to get my way through any means possible. I'm a jerk like that sometimes. I will go too far sometimes just to prove that I was right because I know what I did was the right thing. And what we're doing, anyone listening, what we are doing as patriots, as conservatives, is the right thing. It's the right thing to do. We are on the right side of history. You are not wasting your time. You're not a racist. You're not a white supremacist. You're not an anti-Semite. You're not a homophobe. You're not any of these terrible, you're not a bigot. You're not any of these terrible things that they call you. You're a patriot. You love the United States of America. You love the land of opportunity. You love what this country stands for, the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I can recite the Declaration of Independence. Joe Biden can't, okay? Like, these are the things that you stand for. These are the things that you cherish. These are the things that our country was founded to preserve. So you're on the right side of things, so you've got to be stubborn. Knuckle up. Get down and dirty. Keep showing up, getting involved. If you don't want to do rallies, if you're not into the whole public thing, share content. Make a fake page. But boost it online, on social media. Break those algorithms. Follow back all your patriot friends. Contribute. Send messages. Send ideas. Brainstorm. Get involved any way you can. Because if we all get involved, I am on the firm belief, that's why I call it the loud majority, there are more of us at the end of the day that would say, yes, communism is bad. Yes, totalitarianism is bad. Yes, socialism is bad. Big government is bad. If you ask, if you took all 330 Americans and you put them in a room and you asked them just yes or no, communism, ? I will guarantee you that the majority of that room will say no. The difference is, and what we need to do is we need to get the majority of that room to act in unison, and it's a new thing for us, but we're learning how to do it because we're learning more information. We're winning, and we're getting information out. We're winning that information war.
I hear you. Sean, you know, you sound really, really good, and you really, really have this down. But it wasn't always like this, see, because I understand this is my home area, and you were raised on Long Island. Give us your background. Were you always a conservative, or did you come up liberal and change, or how did your life go that led to this, all this understanding that so many people your age, and you can tell them, you're a young man, that so many people your age just don't get it?
Well, that's the issue. I mean, my peers, I always say my generation is terrible, you know. They've gone through the system. They're victims of the system, and you know, they came out brainwashed. The system worked on them. It worked on me for a while. I was a big Obama fan going into college. I had one conservative professor who changed my mind, and that kind of sparked it. And between him, Bill O'Reilly, and Dan Bongino, you know, I was finally forced into this position. I wanted to take action and wake people up. And, you know, that's kind of what we're doing. And we're just getting started, you know. This school stuff is just so alarming that it's really waking up a whole different demographic of people that we hadn't reached before. So it's really cool to see.
Please tell me what a college professor said to you, because I've got a college professor on the show that's out, Nicholas Giordano, that's out at Suffolk County Community College, and he teaches this type of stuff. But what did a professor say to you that got through when it seldom gets through to most students?
Well, first of all, I love Professor Giordano. Him and I speak to him a lot. He's great. I met him at CFAC this year. He's awesome. We just had him at a rally in Port Jeff. But this conservative professor scared the daylights out of me because he was talking about something called a fiscal cliff back in 2012 when Obama was running against Mitt Romney, and Obama was set to let the Bush tax cuts expire, which effectively would have raised taxes during an economic recovery or a recession at that point. And that's not what you do. Historically, that is not, that doesn't work. When you need more people to have more money in their pocket to put back into the economy, you don't raise taxes and take their money away. That doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So I was sitting in that class of liberal when I first sat there day one, and I kept trying to fact check him. I kept getting stonewalled, and I eventually went up to him and I said, "Listen, man, I think I'm wrong, or I've been lied to, or something. Like, what do I do here?" And he kind of gave me some resources to look into, and you know, that got it started. That got it started, and you know, and then I just kept going further from there, you know. And now, you know, I've always been a patriot. I've always been very patriotic, proud of the country. So it would have happened anyway, because the Democrats hate America, and I've always loved America. So eventually it would have happened, but it happened sooner because of that one professor.
Oh, that's so great to hear. So Sean, thanks for coming on, and I'm going to bring you back, you know, because I know you have a lot going on, and you're in my home area, and I really love what you're doing, and you just decided to start, you got involved, and look at where you are. This is what happened to me. The producer that you called told me I should have my own radio show. As I said, I laughed at him, but it's amazing what happens if you start. You have no idea where you're going to end. Please tell people what's up next for the Loud Majority and how they can reach your organization.
All right, so Loud Majority, we got rallies coming up the entire rest of the month of June. June 13th, we're doing a mask burning party. One of our members actually handcrafted the barrel that we're going to burn the face masks in. Bethpage State Park, 12 p.m. Bring your Trump flags. We're doing a charity collections, multiple foundations for veterans that we wanted to do Memorial Day weekend. We're going to be doing it this weekend instead. It's one day before Donald Trump's 75th birthday, so we'll be throwing him a little birthday party in the park as well. You can find us at officialloudmajority.com. You can find us at Facebook at Long Island Loud Majority. There's our public page. And then there's our private group where we post all the information. That's LILM. Long Island Loud Majority, so LILM space 2.0, because that's the second one we've had. Our first group got destroyed after the election by Zuckerberg. And then you can find us on Twitter at LI Loud Majority and Instagram at Long Island Loud Majority, youtube.com/Long Island Loud Majority for everything that you need, updates and whatnot.
Sean, thanks for coming on the show. You're a great American, a great patriot, and please don't let them grind you down. And anything I can do to help, you've got my support. I'm going to bring you back. Keep up the good fight. And thanks for coming on. Sean Farris, everybody. Sean Farris, everybody. You're very welcome, Sean. See, people, this is what it's about. You never know where you're going to end up, but you'll end up nowhere if you don't start. Take the first step. You have no idea where that first step is going to take you. That first step is just the first step, but it's going to lead somewhere. If you take a shot at the stars or the moon, you may land among the stars, but if you just don't do anything, you're guaranteed not to do anything. Now, this next guest, when you're talking about doing things, she's an investigative journalist and the editor-in-chief of Uncovered DC, which is focused on bringing integrity and ethics back to journalism. She's known for her factual research into details that few others will pursue, lasering in on corruption at the highest levels of government. Tracy Beans is also the host of a popular podcast, Dark to Night, which can be found, Dark to Light, which can be found on all major podcast platforms. She's a frequent guest on radio and television programs. She's a sought-after speaker at conferences and rallies. And I heard Tracy down at Rock the Red in Greenville, South Carolina. But all of that I said, that was all good. But here's all you need to know about Tracy. Saturday night, the red, white, and blue gala dinner with the keynote speaker for the whole weekend's event, General Michael Flynn. And the organizer of the event, Presley Stutz, stands up there, and I'm waiting for him to introduce General Flynn. He goes, "I'm not worthy. But there is a person here who's worthy to bring General Michael Flynn to the stage, and he brought Tracy Beans up to introduce the general." That's all you need to know this is the person that really gets it, and this is the person that has it going on, and she's going to come on and tell us about corruption, and in particular, we're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about this virus that didn't have to go down the way it did, and we're going to talk about the case of Michael Flynn, because she was involved from the ground, from the very beginning on both of them. Welcome to the show, Tracy Beans.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to meet you, and what an honor that was. I'm telling you, if you would have told me a few years ago that that's what I would have been doing on that Saturday, I would have told you you were a liar. No way.
Introducing General Flynn?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Did he tell you in advance, or did he blindside you, or did you know?
Oh, no, I knew. I just never thought, you know, when I started covering the story of General Michael Flynn, that one day I'd be introducing him at a conference like Rock the Red as the keynote speaker. So that's what I mean.
Oh, and it was wonderful. And you were wonderful also, you know, listening to your address about what you do. And I would like to start there, because you really, really broke down and unpacked what really is going on with this virus and the vaccine. And you were in it from start to finish. Please kind of tell people in a capsule form what you told us down in Greenville.
Thanks so much. You're very kind. It was, again, a pleasure to meet you, and I'm looking forward to get to know you much better.
Same here. And we can tell people you're a home guy. You're right from down the road here. You're originally from – you don't live in New York anymore, but you're 10 miles away where I'm recording from my hidden bunker. You grew up in Farmingdale.
Yes, I did, proudly. yeah, so we have a little bit of a history and where we spend our time, right, our stomping grounds. It's awesome. Yeah, so I basically just ran through the COVID fiasco from beginning to end in summarized form. But, you know, we did a lot of reporting on this at Uncover DC, starting back when this pandemic started here in the United States and through till now. And it's interesting to see how things have changed, right? So, you know, in April and March of last year, when COVID really took hold in the States, people were talking about this PCR test, and people were talking about, you know, the lab leak theory, and, you know, they were shut down for the most part. So Uncover DC was doing some really groundbreaking reporting at that time. And the first story that we did on COVID was about influenza-like illness reporting across the country from the CDC. And the reason we started investigating that story to begin with was because we wanted to say, okay, well, when did this potentially arrive here in the States? Did it arrive when they were saying in, you know, February, March, or was it here for a while? And if it was here for a while, did we really need 14 days to slow the spread, right? So we looked into the CDC's influenza-like illness data. So when a sick person goes to the doctor around flu season, they say, you know, I've got body aches, I've got a high fever, I've got chills. The doctor will sometimes run a flu test on that patient, or they'll just, you know what, sounds like you've got the flu, mark it down as an influenza-like illness, and they send that stuff into the CDC. And so I started taking a look at the CDC reports from different states around the country, and I found in a number of states, influenza-like illness reporting spiked massively, unlike any year prior in at least the previous 7 years or so. Very early, in the second week of November, is when we really started seeing reports of this coming into doctors. And the one state where it peaked the earliest was Washington State. And I was starting to think to myself, well, that's an interesting state for this to happen. It was the first state that reported COVID deaths. It was the first state that reported COVID cases in that nursing home, if you recall. And I did a little research, and I found that there was a first ever military games in Wuhan, China. And 100 of the world's militaries had gathered there in Wuhan, China to compete in the military Olympics. And once they left there, the United States military came back to Seattle, Tacoma, Washington, the airport.
There it is. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Tracy, you there? Okay. It looks like we have lost Tracy, and hopefully we will get her back. We will call her back.
We've been through one of this already, right? We've been through one of these phases. You know, why prolong it? We've been through it. We've come out on the other end. Doctors didn't really understand what they were looking at, but they were diagnosing people with a viral pneumonia and treating them like they had the flu. So we put that story out. It did actually garner a lot of attention. We had members of the Senate contact us about it. Some congressional leaders contact us about it. And it kind of just went away after that. You know, nobody really said anything about it until now when we get this reporting about the lab leak theory that this was actually a man-made virus that, you know, could potentially have leaked from the lab in Wuhan.
There you go. And see, nobody wanted to talk about this. Now, can you talk about how this got politicized? Because there, in your opinion, did the country need to be shut down? Was this real? Was this actually anything worse than the swine flu? And how did they use this to hurt our president, and why?
Well, look, I mean, the entire virus got politicized from the treatment protocols down to policy, down to, you know, Democrat states handling it different than Republican states. It's become and still is an issue that's affected literally every human being on this planet in some way, shape, or form, whether you've gotten sick or not. And here in the United States, it's obviously been, you know, used as sort of a cudgel politically at the whim of whoever is in charge, like Anthony Fauci, for example, and the Democrats, for example. And one of the issues with this virus has been the testing from day one. And so in April of 2020, again, we had an article published by an author called named Celia Farber, who had done work during the HIV days with Dr. Carrie Mullis, who was the inventor of PCR, polymerase chain reaction. And what she learned back then was that Carrie Mullis, Dr. Mullis, never invented the PCR test to actually diagnose any illness whatsoever. He invented it as a manufacturing technique for research purposes. But what they started doing was using it to diagnose HIV back in the 80s. And now, when COVID came around, they decided to use it to diagnose COVID. And the problem with the PCR test is that you can edit the cycle threshold. So you can amplify the results however many cycles that you wish, and the higher you amplify, the more positive result you'll get, the more RNA and DNA in the fluorescence that you add to the sample when you do the test. So most laboratories always said anything over 20 or so is really going to give you a ton of false positive results, right? They were running at 48 cycles, 48 across the country, and there really was never a standard set. So you could have a New York laboratory system running at 48, while in Florida they were down at around 20 and getting more, you know, viable test results. But you could also, you know, change those at any whim to get whatever result you wanted. So if you wanted to make it case count high and you were nefarious, you could keep your cycle threshold very high. If you wanted to you know, erase the pandemic and say it was, you know, everybody's doing well, you lower your cycle threshold. And we've seen this happen across the country. For example, we had a whistleblower step forward from North Dakota, a lab whistleblower who told one of our journalists, Wendy Strush Mahoney, that he had emails and data back and forth between the state laboratory facility there, alerting them to a high number, sometimes 80% of false positive cases coming through their laboratories in North Dakota. And it was literally causing them to craft public policy around these false test results, right? So you've got 80% of a batch of like 500 tests coming back positive. What does that mean? Spread is widespread. You know, lock everybody inside, keep everything shut down. And in that same story, we had a town councilman in Bismarck, North Dakota, who wanted to see if the hospital census report bore out towards what these test results were saying. You know, how many people are in the hospital? Are they sick? What are they doing? And the hospitals refused to release, saying he needed to use an attorney to get those. Also, telling people, you know, when they're questioned about this, there was a hearing, you know, you're telling people they've got COVID in the middle of Christmas, but they're negative. Did you go back and fix all of these results? And the answer, well, it's not like we were telling them they had HIV.
Wow.
That's the answer.
Wow. Tracy, you know, what got me in listening to you was why they had to get hydroxychloroquine off the market, and also what the government shutdown did, what it caused, and how the Democrats were able to politicize that. One of the things it seems that it did, it allowed them to do mail-in ballots because they created so much fear that people weren't going to show up at can you address those two?
Yeah, sure. So in the case of therapeutics, ivermectin and also hydroxychloroquine were two early identified therapeutics. Now, President Trump went out and started talking about hydroxychloroquine, which is a very common medicine in use for 60-plus years, used in lupus patients all over the country every single day with little to no side effects, right? If they had a treatment, a therapeutic, something that could, quote, cure people of this virus or at least keep them out of the hospital, getting an emergency use authorization for the vaccine is nearly impossible. Because
there you go.
It's really, yeah, it's like a last line treatment, you know, rush through to get some kind of a medicine to save lives, an emergency use authorization. And so that's why they were giving emergency use authorization to remdesivir and some of these other sort of more experimental drugs that cost a lot of money compared to ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And by extending or continuing the COVID sort of mania, it is the only thing that allowed the mail-in voting to continue the way it was because of the states of emergency across the country, you know, because everything was shut down, because there was a lawsuit in South Carolina. And basically what they were saying, there was a gentleman in this lawsuit who was saying he had an autoimmune disease, and he could not have a witness verify him, sign his absentee ballot. So they were trying to get the signature requirement for absentee ballots removed in South Carolina. And he was arguing that even his wife, who was a school teacher, and his son couldn't live with him because he was so sickly and so, you know, affected by his autoimmune disease that even being around another person would cause him harm. So they went through months of this back and forth with these witnesses. Well, I did a little digging, and I found on social media that this one witness who was in, you know, afflicted by this autoimmune disease happened to be out at all of the Black Lives Matter protests across South Carolina.
Oh, boy.
And so I tried to funnel this information back into the Republican Party here in South Pulling, you know, anything they could to loosen restrictions and have across-the-board mail-in balloting. And that's how they use this virus in a political way to cheat, for lack of a better word, because that's exactly what they did with these mail-in ballots.
Yes, and it's a shame, and it's gonna all come out in the wash sooner or later. Please address the vaccine, because a lot of people really are in the dark about what it really is and what its real true purpose is, and tell us what your undercover investigative reporting has revealed.
So, you know, we've done a lot of research and a lot of reporting into the vaccine, and when I spoke on Saturday, I made it a point to say, you know, I don't want to scare anyone or to make anybody feel bad, because there are people and brothers and sisters of ours, right, who have received this vaccine. And so I want to preface this conversation with that statement. But, you know, this is not a vaccine. It really isn't. It doesn't work with the same methodology that any other vaccine we've ever used in history does. It is literally basically an instruction to tell your cell how to behave. It is a messenger RNA. Messenger RNA goes in and says, here, we want you to do X, Y, and Z. And there have been numerous scientists that have begun to step forward now. And I played a little clip of an interview from an immunologist and a well-respected scientist in Canada about this. They received a study from Japan, which is unprecedented. This is never, ever typically released to anyone, that showed where these spike protein from this vaccine, quote, or inoculation is ending up in the human body and why we're getting so many adverse reports in our system and people saying this vaccine is causing them harm after they get it. It's accumulating in their ovaries, if you're a woman. It's accumulating in your blood, which is what is causing these blood clots, because it's thickening the blood, it's thickening the cell, and it's causing the blood, you know, the blood issues that we're seeing. It's accumulating in the spleen and kidneys. And they were able to see this in a Pfizer study that was actually released. And the problem is that this doctor used the words, we made a big mistake. And anytime you hear an immunologist or a respected physician or a respected doctor use the words, we made a big mistake, you have to take a second to pause and listen to the rest of what they're saying. The spike protein is actually a known pathogen. They didn't think that it would spread throughout the body, but that's exactly what it's doing as per the study that was conducted.
Right. And, it's supposed, you know, to stay in the shoulder, right?
Correct. It is, yeah. Typically, like with vaccine, it stays in the shoulder. It activates the lymph node close to the shoulder where it is in the muscle. You know, they're not injecting it into your bloodstream, which is where they saw tons of problems in laboratory rats. And to be honest, in the study about the, in the paper we did about the PCR test, we included a study that was done when they were trying to develop a vaccine against the SARS virus and the MERS virus, the first ones. And they had a problem because they'd inject these lab rats with it. And when the lab rats were reinfected with the virus after they had received the vaccine, they were dying. And, you know, that study basically put the shelve on the rest of the vaccine research for SARS and MERS because they couldn't develop something that wasn't pathogenic to whatever animal they were introducing it to. But this is a little different, and that's why they thought they had struck gold with this vaccine. Basically, the spike protein's getting into your bloodstream, and they never expected it to do so. They stay in the muscle and instruct the cells from there, and it's not behaving that way. And so when I see lotteries and, you know, even in Vegas, Larry Flint was offering strippers and all kinds of perks for vaccine, you know, for vaccine campaigns. And it's disgusting to me because I feel like this is really one of the worst crimes against humanity we've ever committed, using a completely experimental, untested inoculation on the general population and now trying to mandate it for our children who do not suffer from this virus. They do not suffer from this virus. They do not spread this virus. Scientific information backs that up. And we're injecting now this vaccine into them, and it's causing all kinds of problems. It's causing heart attacks in young people. It's a problem that we need to remove the stigma around discussing, because this is humanity we're talking about here. And if it's our most precious, right, our kids at this point, not even just adults.
I hear you, Tracy. Tracy, you know, I definitely want you to come back because I really want to get into everything that you learned about Michael Flynn. But in the last few minutes that we have, at this point, I would like you to talk about your organization, about Uncover DC, what it's been doing. I know you've been doing a lot of great work. Sarah Carter's been doing her thing. James O'Keefe has been doing his thing. How has it been received? Because you're right there in the Beltway, right in the swamp, exposing the corruption. So tell the people what you do, type of things that you uncover, and how it has been received.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this opportunity because we're really, really trying our best out here to get the American people good information that they can actually trust. You know, we're never going with completely blind sources and asking you to trust us. We provide names, we provide proof, we provide email. You know, we're giving you the background information so that you can feel comfortable sharing it with other people and not having to worry about whether or not you're sending them fake news or something that's nonsense. And we've got a team of journalists that work around the clock following the election integrity issues and all of the audits that are going on around the country in depth. COVID is obviously a very hot topic that we follow. Anything that has to do with government, you know, possibly corruption, or even sometimes we get a good story in there about good news, right? But, you know, you can go to uncoverdc.com and check that out. And then, as you mentioned so graciously in the beginning, I have a podcast called The Dark to Light Podcast that airs every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time on any podcasting platform. And you can go to linktree.com/uncoverdc to get a tree of all the different places you can find us on social media.
Okay, Tracy, here's the big question. The big question that everybody wants to know, when is this election integrity thing going to blow sky high? What is going to happen with Mike Lindell's lawsuit? What is going to happen with Dominion? What is going to happen in Arizona? Because we keep hearing these things. Yeah, Pennsylvania, they found this in Michigan. They found 500,000 blank votes here. They found this there. Georgia's going to do this. Linwood's doing this and everything. And all of us were waiting for this to blow sky high. But to this point, it's still crickets.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of stuff ongoing. And one of the things that I've noticed that's a little bit of an issue is that legacy media, even some, you know, radio stations just refuse to cover this story because they're facing pressure from above that if they talk about election integrity, it means that they're, you know, wishing that the president would come back into office. And you know, they don't want that. They don't want that on air. So they're not covering it. But look, in terms of the Mike Lindell lawsuit, he is saying that he had whistleblowers come to him with traffic packets that were live, the captured live on election night. And this is in his lawsuit that he filed against Dominion. And so eventually those whistleblowers are going to need to step forward and identify themselves, proving how they captured this information live on election night, right? Who are they? How did they get the only way that it's going to be, you know, admissible, to be honest. So we're waiting on that. But while that's happening, the audit in Arizona is proving out to be something really amazing, because they're doing that audit in Arizona, but now you're noticing other states are sending delegations out to witness how this audit is being done, and they're reporting their findings back to their state legislatures. Remember who controls those state legislatures? It's Republicans. And without the support of the American people, they will not act. I'm telling you that right now. So everybody needs to keep the pressure on and not let this die. You know, we're going to start seeing results here within probably the next month or two. And once the first set of results come in, you're going to see a cascade of these audits happen. And at the very least, legislation introduced to make sure that what happened in November of 2020 never happens again in this country.
Amen to that. I got to ask this question because my best friend, Kenny Harmon, we talk every night and we talk about these things, and he's a great patriot and a great Christian. And we talk and he's saying, okay, I keep hearing this and I keep hearing that, and we keep hearing all these things that are going to happen, and then nothing happens, you know? And he's like, well, okay, this looked good, but then nothing happened. And that looked good, but then nothing happened. They were going to do this, that didn't work, and this. How are they able to, the left, to suppress or derail or at least curtail everything we try and do?
You know, there's a couple different issues going on there, honestly. A lot of what you're seeing floating around out there online is rumor and misinformation. So somebody will hype something that's not true, and then everybody will be waiting for that bombshell to drop, and it never will because it never existed in the first place. Huge problem, big, big issue I fight against all the time. The other thing that's going on here is we have a judiciary in this country that has lost its way. And so it's really hard to get any case in front of a judge who has the chutzpah to actually hear the case for what it is and not dismiss it on a technicality because they're terrified of what the left will do to them should they rule in any certain way. And that's a big problem that we need to work through. You know, the judge in the Antrim County lawsuit up in Michigan was the only judge with the guts to allow a case to the evidentiary stage. And when we got to the evidentiary stage in that case, we got evidence, hard evidence of wrongdoing in Antrim, Michigan. And then the judge granted a motion to dismiss on that case because he said that the plaintiff received the relief that he had requested, which was to see what had happened in that election. Well, we need to keep appealing those decisions until we find someone else with the guts to take up the case. This is an American election we're talking about here and nothing else. And we need to, that's the problem. That's the biggest issue.
Tracy, you just opened up another big can of worms. I want you to please address this. Every time the liberals want to go to court, they used to have the Ninth Circuit. They go to in Oakland, and they go here, and they go there. They always find a judge. You know, we overturn things in D.C. Why can't we find a judge? What's that about?
Isn't it horrible?
No,
I know.
I mean it. You're telling me we can't find a judge to take our cases anywhere in the United States? 50 states.
I really wish that I could say to you, there's a good judge here, there's a good judge there, but they haven't borne out. They really
Not
haven't.
One?
I mean, they.
The only thing is one.
Look, I know, and even in Wisconsin, right, where we got a SCOTUS win, the president's law team got a SCOTUS win in Wisconsin, where they ruled that like 100,000 or so, and don't quote me on the number because it was a while now, but they ruled that the indefinite confinement usage in the 2020 election was illegal, and they never should have done it that way, and that the Board of Elections should never have instructed people to be able to vote that way if they were in quarantine from COVID or just afraid to leave their homes. It was inappropriate. They never reversed the votes. They never went back and did anything. So even when we get decisions, we have weak-kneed officials who are not doing the right thing. And that's why you're seeing this wave across the country of citizens taking up and getting involved in their local elections, getting involved in the GOP, working to put pressure on their representatives to enact legislation that will stop this from happening in the future. It's got to be a pressure campaign. We've got to keep the pressure on these folks to do the right thing. As far as the judiciary goes, I don't have an answer, and I wish I did.
All right, because I was going to ask you this question here, and you can take the fifth if you want, or you can answer it if you want. Now, we have judges that were put in. Trump put judges in. All kind of people put judges in. What is the issue? You see, we don't Brett and their judges, or if we do, they probably don't give a damn because Uncle Georgie, you know, controls that, I think. But is there a problem with our judges? And you said, you did say a fear factor. What is causing this? Can you get comfortable,
you know,
talking about that?
So Mitch McConnell was well known during the Trump administration for appointing an unheard of number of conservative judges and getting them all, you know, in place. And we were so happy. We said, finally a victory. We took back the courts. We'll have some fairness for once. And, you know, I can't even tell you the number of times I've read a case judge was appointed by Trump and said to myself, my gosh, I cannot believe this. The issue is that the swamp is in a lot more control than people ever gave them credit for.
There you go.
And a lot is, I mean, it's just the truth. We have a lot of work to do in this country. And people are super disillusioned, really upset. They're feeling like they have no power. I can tell you right now, the one thing that these folks respond to, and it isn't elections, it's action, it's boots on the ground, it's phone calls, emails, bullhorns. That's what these folks respond to. So if you want your way, you've got to get out there and get active. And the country is too important to give up and throw your hands up and walk in the other direction. Thankfully, a good majority of the American people who were even not politically active 6 months ago, through all of the stuff that the left has pulled and the politicization of the virus and this vaccine nonsense. And Alison Camerota had a bunch of people on her show the other night, and they were all liberals. They were talking about the vaccine. And all of them said the most important issue to them is civil rights. And because their rights have been trampled on by this vaccine, they have changed their ideology politically, which means that we have a big job ahead of us if we're going to educate new people. I sit on the board of the Walkaway Foundation, okay? New people coming over from the left on why conservatism is important and why it's the way we need to go. We need to educate these people and then use them, because guess what? They're the activists. Conservatives are used to going to work, taking care of their families, coming home and sitting down on the couch, watching TV, and going to sleep. That's what we do. We're hard workers. We support this country on our backs. That's what we're used to. It's time for all of that to change. And the only way it's going to change is if everybody out there gets active in their local community to make that change. And that's what I'd advise people start doing.
And that's what we have to do, because we have to take it back the same way the Democrats did, one vote at a time, one heart at a time. Tracy, I want to bring you back. We do want to talk about General Flynn, and I'd love you to come back if you could give us the honor of coming back on the show. You're wonderful, and it was a pleasure meeting you and hearing you at Rock the Red.
Thank you so much. It would be an honor. I know everything there is to know about that case. We could spend a good hour, if not more.
We'll go for it, and I will be contacting you, because I did have a couple conversations with the general, and I'll just leave it at that for the moment. But, I will definitely be contacting you, and we'll get you back on as soon as possible. Thank you. God bless you and your organizations. Tracy Beans, everybody. Tracy Beans. And she, Uncover DC, go to uncoverdc.com. And you'll get the truth. And speaking of truth, this man that's coming on, you want to know the truth about communism, he'll give it to you. Trevor Loudon is an author, filmmaker, public speaker from Christchurch, New Zealand. He lives in the United States now. For more than 30 years, he's researched the radical left, Marxism, and terrorist movements and their covert influence on our mainstream politics. He's addressed more than 400 conservative, Tea Party, religious, and Republican groups in more than 37 states. He's been on my show several times. I'm proud to call him, a friend. And he spoke at Rock the Red, and he tore it up, and we had quite a few conversations after he had spoken over the course of the 3 days down there with his son, James. And I told Trevor, I have to bring you back, because there's just too many Americans that are ready to slit their wrists because they just don't see a way out. And hopefully Trevor will come on and provide us with the cure. Once again, I am happy to bring back to the show Mr. Trevor Loudon.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Have you recovered from the weekend?
Yes, sort of. Yeah,
we were up until 3 in the morning, Sunday morning, with Don Fiducia and Don and Claire Lopez, and, we're trying to save the world,
You should keep away from them. They'll just lead you astray.
Well, here's the thing. Talking about being led astray, before you tell people the solution, tell them how far astray are we. You know, tell them the truth. You told the truth down at Rock the Red. Tell them exactly where we are right now, right here at this point in time in our nation.
Well, we're fighting for our survival, and we're losing right now. We are in a revolution directed by communist China with help from Russia and Iran and Venezuela. That's a hardcore communist revolution that's unfolding right now. The people in the White House are on the side of that revolution. We're at war with China. They are trying to destroy the country with their drugs, with their Black Lives Matter rioting, with their influence in Congress. They pretty much control the Democratic Party, with their you know, their interference in the elections, and their aim is to destroy the United States so that it can we can no longer ever threaten their domination of the world. And there is no secret plan to save us. There is no, you know, President Trump's not secretly in control. He's not coming back on, you know, July 18th or January the 21st or whatever. And the military is, the leadership of the military is on the side of the Democrats and the communists. And they are purging the good guys out of the military. So really, and they're going to, their aim is to destroy the military at the same time that Russia and China and Iran are building up and getting ready for World War III. Is that hardcore enough for you, Gary?
Yeah, I'll tell you how hardcore. I just took cyanide, so you're going to have to do the show by yourself. I'm checking out.
Yeah.
No, but all jokes aside, now that you've told us how bad it is, provide the solution that you gave us down at Rock the Red.
Well, the first thing you got to realize is until people face the reality, you can't be talking about hope. You still got millions of people thinking this is just another Democrat administration, and a whole bunch more thinking President Trump's secretly in control and QAnon's going to come and save him at the last moment. That's all a scam. So face reality, first step. There is no violent way out of this either, because you know, the Russians and the Chinese, if there is a rebellion in this country, they will join in, and that'll be horrendous. So what we have to do, what we can do, what we have is 80 million MAGA voters and God. And we have a lot of power, and we've got a lot of economic power and a lot of political power. We've still got 30 states run by Republicans. So one of the things we have to, well, every red state that has open Republican primaries, and that's a whole bunch of them, need to be working
that.
At grassroots
right.
level. Sorry?
Yeah, are you talking about open primaries and it applies that they actually let Democrats vote in their primaries?
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
there's
we got to stop that, right?
Only five,
that's got to stop.
Yeah, well, it's insane. There's only five states in the whole country that have fully closed primaries. One of them is a Democrat state. That means what we should have is, if you have a Republican primary, only Republicans should vote in it. But every other state allows Democrats and even communists to vote in the Republican primaries. That's how Lindsey Graham hangs on in South Carolina. That's how Lisa Murkowski hangs on in Alaska. Everybody has got to be working to close the primaries so only Republicans can vote in Republican primaries, which will give you a whole bunch more conservative state reps and Congress members and county commissioners, etc. That's the reason why we have conservative people at the base and the Republican Party is full of rhinos, because of these stupid open primaries. And the rhinos love it, because that's how they maintain power. So that's step one. We've got to get rid of those. Voter integrity, the 30 red states have got to be enacting very stiff voter integrity laws so that there's big jail time for vote fraud. There are no more machines, paper ballots only. even if the machines were great and blockchain and you couldn't hack them, 20% of our base won't trust them. That's why we lost the two Senate seats in Georgia, because a whole bunch of Georgia Republicans said this election's going to be just as fraudulent as the last. I'm going to go fishing that day instead of voting. So we've got a very stiff penalties, and we've got to get rid of machines. That's what we should all be aiming for at grassroots level in the red states. Look, there are 69 Democrats, congressmen, currently serving in red states. Just by cleaning up the vote fraud, you'd probably take 20 of those out. That would give you back the House in 2022 and make Joe Biden and Kamala Harris lame ducks, which would blunt a lot of what they're trying to do. Just that alone. And there's several other steps. I wrote in an article for the Epoch Times, A New Zealander's 9 Starter Steps for Saving America from Socialism. The first was confront reality. The second was there is no armed solution here. The third was voter integrity in all of the 30 red states. The fourth was close the down primaries. And the fifth is building an alliance, a compact of free states. We got to get Florida and Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas and Missouri and South Carolina all the way up to Alaska, all working together as a block. That's 30 states. And then you bring in the red counties of the blue states, and that's 80% of America, a nation within a nation. And you basically tell the – and I'm not talking secession. I'm talking you tell the federal government to take a hike. You're not coming after our guns. You're not coming after our freedom of speech. You're not coming after our religious liberties. You're not coming after our voting procedures, our elections. And already 20 Republican states have written a letter to Biden saying that if he tries to corrupt their elections, there will be big trouble. So these are the steps we need to start taking now. And then another one was there's two more important ones, but you want me to give those to Gary?
Please do. Please do. You're on a roll.
Okay. Well, one of the very important ones is we got to boycott and boycott. We should, 80 million MAGA voters should be boycotting everything that comes from communist China. Get rid of everything in your investment portfolio that invests in Chinese companies. Don't buy Chinese goods. Buying from China today is like buying from Nazi Germany in 1938. They're only using your money to build up their guns to kill you. It got so bad that President Trump had to issue an executive order last year because the companies in control of American military pensions were going to invest all of that money in Chinese communist countries, companies, many of them tied to the People's Liberation Army, their military, so they could build more guns, ships, and planes to kill the Americans who paid for them. That's how insane it is. And we got to start boycotting every woke company, every anti-American company. Do like Trump said, boycott the Major Baseball League, boycott Coca-Cola, boycott UPS. Any company that's anti-American, don't give them a cent. Spend all your money in local, patriotic, Christian, pro-American companies, and don't give a dime to any of the woke, Black Lives Matter supporting, you know, China kissing companies out there. We have the buying power. That's how the Indians got the British out of India, because they just boycotted every British company. And the British just packed up and left. And the other very important thing, there's a few more steps in this, but the other important thing is President Trump is already compiling lists of rhino candidates that have to be primaried out in 2022. And he's endorsing a whole lot of good MAGA candidates. That the RNC is already 70% controlled by MAGA and Tea Party type people. The Mitch McConnells and the Kevin McCarthys are on the run. Everybody's got to get signed up to vote in the Republican primaries, get your cousin, your barber, your blacksmith, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, everybody signed up in the Republican primaries so that when they come around in 2022, we can mass vote in hundreds of new MAGA candidates and mass vote out dozens of rhino senators, people who signed off on that fraudulent election, get rid of a whole bunch of left-wing Republican congressmen and get dozens of more of Marjorie Taylor Greens and Lauren Boberts and Josh Hawleys. It's within our grasp. We have the numbers to do it. And President Trump's going to provide the leadership. We just have to get the people signed up to do it.
This is true, Trevor. You have James Bostic and I cracking up with blacksmiths. I haven't seen a blacksmith in a while, but I have seen something black, and we're tired of it. Please explain to people what Black Lives Matter really is. Thank you.
Black Lives Matter is a front group for Liberation Road, which is a pro-Chinese Communist Party. It's run largely out of the Chinese consulate in San Francisco through a group called the Chinese Progressive Association, which is a big voter registration group that really runs the politics of San Francisco. Well, they have a front group called Asians for Black Lives, and Asians for Black Lives funds and guides Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is completely a Chinese communist operation. The head of the Chinese Progressive Association is a young man called Alex Tom. He's been to communist China. He runs his messaging past the Chinese consulate in San Francisco. I've got him on tape saying this. He funds Alicia Garza, the head of Black Lives Matter. And they were student radicals together back at UC San Diego in the 90s. Black Lives Matter is a Chinese operation. China burnt your cities, China's COVID wrecked your economy, and China stole your elections, and China is killing 80,000 of your kids every year with fentanyl. You're at war with China, you just don't quite understand that fact.
And this is why I bring people like Trevor Loudon on to explain these things. Trevor, one of the most chilling things I saw at Rock the Red, it may have been in your presentation, I'm not sure, was when they showed embassies, United States embassies around the world with the Black Lives Matter flag hanging with the American flag. I had no idea.
That's right. Black Lives Matter, which is a Chinese operation, is now being worshipped in churches. It's being promoted by the U.S. State Department and U.S. embassies. And I'll tell you another little connection there. I talked about Alicia Garza. Well, she's best friends with a young communist called Latifah Simon. Now, Latifah Simon serves on the Bay Area Rapid Transit Board in San Francisco, but she was just a little street-level radical a few years ago, hanging around with the standing together to organize a revolutionary movement, Storm, Van Jones's group, Maoist group. But she got picked up by a very prominent California politician, got put through college and made her way into the top levels of San Francisco politics. That woman was Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris
is a red diaper baby. She's the Black Lives Matter president. And she and Latifah Simon and Alicia Garza are the best of friends. Kamala Harris's whole career has been made by pro-Chinese communists. Even her parents were both pro-Chinese communists. Her financial mentor, Steve Phillips, was a pro-Chinese communist. Her husband's law firm does business with communist China and has Chinese communists in key staff positions. She was made by China. And Joe Biden is also China's best friend. But Black Lives Matter, which is a Chinese operation, is now regarded as something noble and something American. Whereas they get a free pass to burn cities, where Trump supporters who take selfies in the Capitol building are being hunted down and potentially sentenced to long jail sentences.
I'm just waiting for the day that this all comes out and it becomes public knowledge, and hopefully we'll do something about it. Trevor, please tell me about your latest book, which is called, and thank you for autographing the copy for me down there, which is called White House Reds, Communist, Socialist, and Security Risks Running for U.S. President 2020. Please tell them about your latest book.
Yeah, well, I hope people get a copy of it. You can get it from my website, trevorlowden.com. But don't Google it. You'll have to put that in the search bar at the top. Otherwise, because Google won't bring it up. And you can get a copy of the book there. I'll sign it for you. You can get it on Amazon, but you can't get it signed there. And Amazon is a very woke company. So it basically profiles 10 of the leading Democrats who were still running at the beginning of 2020. It's Joe Biden, it's Pete Buttigieg, who's now the Secretary of Transportation, the man who wants to tax you for every dollar you drive. Mrs. Nice, Amy Klobuchar, who's the Senator from Minnesota. It's crybaby Cory Booker, who's the Senator from New Jersey. All of them are Marxists. Of the 11 people still running at that point, everyone was a Marxist, except for one, and that was Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York, and he loves communist China like a chocolate himself, so he's just about as bad. But all of them were Marxists. So the Democratic Party is like Christianity. It has all these denominations. You know, Christianity is Baptists and Anglicans and Episcopalians and Orthodox. Well, the Democratic Party has Trotskyists and Maoists and Stalinists and Communist Party USA people and Democratic Socialists. It has all these different Marxist denominations, and every one of those candidates virtually represented a different denomination. You know, Julian Castro was the Communist Party denomination. Amy Klobuchar was Democratic Socialist of America. Cory Booker was Maoist. Kamala Harris is also Maoist, and Joe Biden was pro-Soviet. So all of these groups are represented. The Democratic Party is a communist party now, and unfortunately, your Democrat neighbor, who probably loves his country, maybe a veteran, is probably a patriot, still thinks he's voting for Harry Truman or JFK. He has no idea what has happened to his party. And so the book will really explain just how deeply penetrated by anti-American communists the Democratic Party is, when 10 of the 11 leading Democrats are Marxists. You can tell the Democratic Party has a little problem.
Trevor, you know, people, please listen. He's dropping mega doses of knowledge. I love this man. I told him to his face for about the 50th time. He's the reason I got into this. I saw him on a video in 2016. He so touched me. I knew nothing about any of this, and it's through him. He's the one that stoked the fire in me. I thank you so much, Trevor. Thanks for coming on again, because I know you're a very, very busy man. You know, you're always welcome on the show. Please tell people where they can reach you.
Yeah, just reach me at trevorlowden.com or Trevor Loudon on Facebook. But the thing I want to leave you with is, you know, there is power in confronting truth. You know, when you have cancer, you know, who are the people who survive cancer? The people who go to the doctor straight away and do something about it when they have suspicions, or the people who won't confront it, refuse to go to the doctor and pretend it's not happening? You know, there is power in facing truth. The quicker we face truth, the quicker we're going to come through this. And we can come through this if we face up to reality.
That we have to do, and that I'm glad you're out there, you know, just beating the drum, and you know. Mr. Trevor Loudon, thank you again, Trevor. God bless you, your family. Tell James I said hi.
Oh, we'll do. Always a pleasure, Gary. We'll catch up with you again soon. Get me on for a longer show, and we'll depress people even more.
Until, yeah,
then we'll turn them around. Then we'll then we'll give them some hope, because there
right.
is hope.
We'll stay balanced. We'll give them the good, but we're going to give them both sides of the coin. But this can be, we can win.
Yeah.
We can win this battle, and we must win this battle. We got to save this country.
We have to for our kids. Okay,
right.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks. Once again,
yeah.
Mr. Trevor Loudon. And I'm telling you, please listen to him. Go to his website, get his book. I'm going to be posting on my Facebook page, the United Patriots Uprising page on Facebook, his quotes, because they're that important, because he knows what he's talking about. And he gave us a blueprint for saving this country. It was some weekend down there in South Carolina. And the big boss man was down there. This is my producer, James Bostic. He's the one that takes the phone calls and talks to everybody in the green room while I'm on the air, because I can't do two things at the same time. And he was down there at Rock the Red, too, for the second time. We were down there in 2020. We were down there. And he's got his show. It's called Conservative Perspective. It comes on Tuesday and Thursday on the same network, the Patriot Nation Radio Network at 7. And James was part of the festivities. He broke in with a bang, which he's going to tell you about. And we just want to spend the last few minutes just talking about what we took in, because, boy, it was powerful. So I welcome to the show the big boss man, James Bostic.
Hello, Gary. Good to be here with you.
Hey,
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And it was something watching you and Melissa Petry and Danny Hamilton and the crew blasting this cannon. You had Tom Holman from ICE.
Tom Holman,
Michael
right?
Flynn. You had who else? You had somebody else. You had all kind of people.
Lynn
Wood.
Attorney
Lynn Wood. Trying to blow South Carolina up.
It was
a
great time, yeah.
About what you did and your recollections about what touched you the most. Tell people a little bit about, you know, what you were doing, but then your recollection of what touched you the most about what we heard for the time duration we were down there in Greenville, South Carolina.
Well, sure. I don't know where exactly to start with that. We were down there. It started as a joke. I had had the cannon out. The people you mentioned, Melissa and myself, and Tim Walker, who was a member of our crew, we're all part of a Civil War reenacting group that's based out of West Virginia. We are known as Bryan's Battery, and one of the reasons that Bryan's Battery is historically significant is because there was a young man in the battery named Milton Humphreys who was very mathematically adept and developed and was probably one of the first to implement the concept of indirect fire. And indirect fire is something that is used by military forces to this day. It's part and parcel of any military strategy. And simply what it means is you're hitting a target that you cannot see. And in those days, it required runners and spotters to communicate the necessary coordinates for the artillery to zero in on the targets, and they did. And I just said to Don, knew when I shot, I sent him a picture of the gun, and I said, Don, wouldn't it be cool if we could use this kind of like the starter's pistol at Rock the Red? And again, as I've said many times, a lot of the good things in podcasting that have happened to me have flowed through Don Ewan and Donna Fiducia. This is another one. About an hour and a half later, I was on a three-way conversation with Don and Presley Stutz, the organizer of the event, and we concluded that this was going to be a done deal, and we would conduct demonstrations. There would be the celebrities firing, and the big thing I thought was really nice also was that we were given the honor to serve as the color guard for the opening of
the
both
opening,
days.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Both days' activities, and that was really nice. And of course, for me personally, having General Flynn, you know, being able to work with General Flynn on our cannon and have him fire that thing. That was I was over the moon. That was really a tremendous honor for our unit. And it was just a great weekend. I got to see my friends. I got to see you again. I got to see Don and Donna. I got to see Trevor. I got to see Claire briefly. Melissa got to meet some people that she had not met and had known for a long, long time. And I got to meet Rocky Stucci and Ron Phillips for the first time. That was great.
from the Situation Room.
From the Situation Room.
Right. I want to thank them for putting me on. Yeah, they put me on the air for about 15 minutes. Don Newman set that up. As soon as I got there, Don says, "Hey, you got to put him on the show." I'm like, "Boy, Don and Donna, they've helped us both." So yeah, we all got to see all kind of people. What was the takeaway that you took? What was the thing when you left there? What resonated most with you?
Well, it was very similar to the last time, Gary. If we're going to paint with broad brushstrokes, and we can certainly do that, I think the biggest thing that I came away with was, again, maybe even a greater feeling of optimism than the January before last when we were down there. You know, we were on the cusp of great things, and a lot of us were thinking that a reelection was maybe not a slam dunk, but at least relatively assured, and we were confident and we felt good about the next 4 years. And then, you know, things changed, and they changed dramatically. And it was a very dismaying and discouraging time, and I think we're still in that. However, being down there and getting to spend time with you and all the friends in our family reunion, I guess, and then plus listening to the overall vibe from the speakers, I came away very encouraged, maybe even more encouraged than the first time.
And I know why, James, because the one thing that came out, everybody, and these are people who are on the ground, these are people that are talking to and meeting people, everybody talked about how now that they're getting the stench of this socialist takeover, that people are starting to get involved for the first time on the grassroots level. That's what I took. People are getting involved, finally.
And the reason why, you know, General Flynn talked about it on Saturday night after dinner. You know, buyer's remorse is genuinely setting in. And I think it's going to be even more profound as Ms. Beans was talking about, as Tracy was talking about, as we see more and more revelations on these audits and the absolute piercing, shredding of voter integrity in this last election. I think that it's going to be an even greater sense of remorse. I think it's going to be even more than that. It's going to be a sense of betrayal and distrust that's going to overtake that group that Trevor was talking about. You know, your neighbor. Your Democrat neighbor, he is. He's probably a veteran, and he thinks that he's voting for Harry Truman, or he thinks that he's voting for John Kennedy. And that is the case with so many Democrat voters. And I think the tide is turning. I know a lot of people could probably make the argument that we say these things, well, conservatives are just whistling past the graveyard now, and the end is near. And I'm not necessarily sure that that's the case, because when you have the leading thinkers like we saw down at Rock the Rail, when you have folks like Trevor Loudon, which is a good example, Tracy, the guests that you've had this evening, Claire Lopez, Michael Cutler, David Horowitz,
John DeLemme,
John DeLemme as well, K. Carl Smith. It wouldn't matter who we talked about, Gary. We would be saying the same thing, that these are the leading conservative lights or the leading conservative thinkers. I'll wrap it up. We got 90 seconds. In this new generation of conservative thinking, it was a terrific time. It was awesome to get to see you and everybody else. And we got to go back in January. You know that.
Yeah. Well, they said that they've already confirmed Steve Bannon will be one of the keynote speakers. So it's going to be on again. James, thank you for coming on, and thank you for being down there, and thank you for being the producer of this show, and you've been invaluable, because I couldn't do the show without it. I love you, man, and thank you for coming on. The Big Boss Man, James Bostic, A Conservative Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Thank you for listening in. I want to thank the guests, David Horowitz, Sean Farish. I want to thank Tracy Beans and Trevor Loudon. I'll be back on June 21st. June 21st, we will have people from Rock the Red, Eliana Brooks talking about her sex trafficking, Eric Cochran doesn't want the United States to turn into Ireland. He'll be on, and some others from Rock the Red with a big, big, big name surprise. Can't tell you now. but somebody big will be on joining these people. Really, really big. I'm hopeful. And thank you for listening. God bless you. God bless your families. And God bless America.